The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hi there, welcome to The Undercurrent. I'm your host, Tara Sloan. I hope you're all having a great start to the year. And if you're in California like I am, I really hope you've gotten through this series of storms with little damage. You know, it's kind of easy from afar, I think, to be like, oh, California, poor California has some rain. It hasn't just been some rain. This has been really, really serious and has had major implications for lots of people. Flooding, tree damage, infrastructure damage. There have been lives lost. So really sending so much love and care and healing to everybody who's been affected by this. As I record today, it is one of the few sunny days of the past few weeks. So hopefully the first of many dry days to come. Fingers crossed. So on to the show. This week's episode veers away from hockey for the first time, but it does stay on the ice. And here's what happened. This interview was offered to me. I was so enamored with the subject and I just could not let this go. So this is what happened. The 2023 Toyota U.S. Figure Skating Championships are coming to SAP Center in San Jose. They go from January 23rd to 29th. And somebody eyeing the podium who has a real shot is a young skater from Inglewood, California. Her name is Star Andrews. She just made history in October. She became the first Black U.S. figure skater to place in the Grand Prix Series. She got a silver at Skate Canada in Mississauga in October. She has famous fans already. So Michelle Obama has tweeted about her. Jennifer Hudson had her on her show. So she has, well, I guess I got to say, her star is on the rise. So I know you're going to be a fan just like I have become. This is Star Andrews.
Hi, Star.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? How excited are you for this event?
I'm good, and I am so, so excited. I was actually here in 2018, so it's kind of full circle. My first year senior, I was here. So I'm super excited to be back.
Explain for those of us who may not follow figure skating day to day, the meaning of the U.S. Championships.
So the U.S. Championships is a competition where all the best skaters in America come together and compete. And it's such a fun experience to be here. And it's a joy to see everybody skate. And the crowd is also amazing. The support system for everybody is just amazing. So yeah, it's just really fun to be here.
This event marks the first time in over 20 years that two Black women will participate in the senior event. So I'm assuming that has some added meaning for you, right?
Yes, I am so, so, so excited for her. I can't wait to see her experience the joy of U.S. champs. It is a once in a lifetime like experience, especially for your first time. It's amazing. And to just step onto the ice in the arena is such a surreal feeling as well.
And you're talking about Alexa Gasparato, right?
Yes. And I actually met her before and she is so sweet.
So I want to talk about your silver in Canada at the Skate Canada event in October in Mississauga, Ontario. I know you landed six triples in your free skate. So that was kind of what put you over the top. What was that experience like for you?
Well, going into that competition, I definitely felt super trained and I was super excited to be there because originally I hadn't been assigned that competition. And when I found out that I was going, I was so, so, so excited. And I had been training so hard before that. So I knew that I was going to be trained and ready. And I loved it there. Like, the crowd was amazing. The ice felt great. And I just went out there and did what I knew what to do. And it was so fun. And I wish I could experience that all over again. And it was just overall just such a surreal experience, especially it being my first Grand Prix medal.
Your first Grand Prix medal, and you know, this has not been a time period for you without challenge. You fairly recently had a procedure to correct a condition called supraventricular tachycardia, SVT, probably a lot easier to say. So first of all, what is that condition and what was the process that you had to?
So I actually went undiagnosed for quite a while. The first time I ever experienced it, I was 12 years old and I was on a practice ice, and all of a sudden everything turned white and I thought I was going to pass out. And so I called my mom and I was like, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, after that, we went to a doctor's appointment and they were like, your heart's fine. Like, you know, I don't see anything wrong. And it had been like that for a long time. And it had only happened in competition once before, but I ended up finishing my program. But the next time that it happened in competition, it started before I even started my program. And my heart rate goes over 220. So it's really hard to skate 3 minutes with my heart rate already so high. And after that, my mom was like, okay, we have to figure out what this is, because if it happens when you're competing, then you're not going to be able to compete. It's going to be something that's hindering you. So we went to a different doctor and we got a heart monitor. And once it happened, they're like, you have supraventricular tachycardia. And from there, we scheduled a procedure, and I have an extra nerve in my heart that was making my heart rate spike. And we went in and we burned it. And unfortunately it came back. So we're going to have to do the procedure again.
Oh, no.
But it's definitely not as bad as before. They don't last as long, and it's not as bad as it was. It's just, unfortunately it came back. And so we're just going to have to go back in and do a little touch up.
A touch up. I like the way you put that. Well, of course, I wish you all the best. I mean, it sucks. I don't think there's any better way to put it. And sort of ironically, your mom has a heart condition and it's unrelated. Talk a little bit about what your mom's challenges have been.
So my mom's heart it's been through a lot. She's had 13 heart attacks and a stroke, and you would never even know it. She starts every day with a smile on her face, and she does more than I think she should do, but she's like, I'm fine. Like, it's okay. And she has, it's a long, like, I forget how to say it sometimes. I always have to ask her, I'm like, what is it? But it's where her small vessels, or something about her vessels in her heart that don't work properly, and she has to take blood thinner so that, you know, the blood doesn't get clogged and she doesn't have a heart attack. So
my goodness. Okay. So that's stressful, but she comes from the world of figure skating also. Is that how you ended up on skates?
Yes. So she started as an adult before I was born, and she, like, when I was born, I would just watch her and I was like, I really want to skate. Like, please, mom, let me skate. And at first she was like, no, this is my thing. And then she gave in to my cute little face. And she was like, okay, I'll let you skate. And we did mommy and me classes. And from then on, I just loved it.
Who were your role models? I mean, obviously mom.
Yeah.
She goes by Tosh, right?
Yeah, she goes by Tosh. My mom.
So she's number one role model. Who else? Yes, who did you grow up watching? Like, who did you want to be?
I grew up watching Adam Rippon. He was the one figure skater I saw with curly hair. I never really saw anybody with curly hair. He doesn't have curly hair now, but when I first saw him, he had all this curly hair and I was like, oh my gosh, he looks amazing. And I just love the way he skates. He's always himself. He's not afraid to do different types of programs. And I love that about him. And it's such a joy watching him. So I definitely grew up watching him.
When did you know you were good? Did you know first, or did your mom know first?
My mom definitely knew first. As a kid, you're like, oh well, this person, she got higher scores than me, and like I'm you know, I messed up, so I'm not that good. And then, you know, as a kid, you don't really put two and two together. But I feel like I realized that was pretty good when I got sent to Junior Worlds, my first Junior Worlds ever. To be honest, I don't really remember the year, but I was in Taiwan, and that was my second international ever. My first international was in Croatia, and it was just like a little competition. And, I never did I think I was going to Junior Worlds that same competition season because I'd just been sent out on my first international ever as a junior. So I feel like that's when I knew that, I was like, oh, okay, like I'm actually not bad.
Well, your mom says that you were fearless from the start. You had no inhibitions. Where do you think that came from?
I think that came from my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely just throw myself into jumps. I loved jumping, so I wasn't afraid to like do jumps. I was always excited to learn something new. But I definitely think I got that from my mom.
I want to dig a little deeper on that though. I mean, it's like I look at the jumps that you do, and I mean, for most of us, it's just absolutely surreal and just unimaginable how you can get that height. Is there any fear involved, or you just don't have it?
Of course, like you have bad falls here and there, and then you're like, oh, I don't want to have a fall like that again. But at the same time, it's kind of an inevitable in life not to get hurt. Just like generally, you could be walking down the street and you step wrong and you hurt your ankle. So it's for me, it's kind of like you have to go all out, or if you hold back, you have more of a chance of getting hurt because you're scared. And for me, you just have to go all out and not be afraid. And that's how I think of it.
What I find to be an equally remarkable characteristic of figure skaters and elite athletes like you is also the ability to get up after a fall and complete your program. And do it as if nothing had happened. Is there a particular type of mental discipline that have you had to learn how to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and just go on with it?
Yes, it's definitely not easy because you're like, oh man, I can't believe I just fell. Like, I literally just did this jump perfect in warm up. I don't understand what went wrong. But at the same time, you're human, you make mistakes. I mean, of course, you want to be perfect, but sometimes you have an off day and the jump just isn't working right for you. And I think that those are the days where you learn how to get up and dust it off. And my coach always tells me, close that door, because once it's over, it's over. You have the rest of the program and you can, make up those points and GOEs and try your best and complete the program with a smile on your face and know that you did all you could do and that you tried.
You're talking about your coach, Derek Delmore. Was that his advice to you? Or I'm sure it's every coach's advice to you, right?
Yes, and Peter Kongkhapm. Peter Kongkhapm is the one who told me to shut the door. In practice, he would be like, shh, close the door. You messed up, close the door. You have to move on. You can do it. It's okay. It happens. And yes, Derek as well. He's like, you have to, pick yourself up and keep trying.
Well, that's great advice for I think anybody can use that. I know you've talked about this so many times, but your viral video when you were 9, you went viral for
Yes.
doing a routine to "Whip My Hair" by Willow Smith. What are the views at now? Like 54 million, something like that.
I'm not quite sure, but I do know it's in the 50s. It's been a while since I've seen that video. I actually still have the shorts and the skate covered, that whole outfit I still have. So when I look back at it, I was like, wow, like I was real small. And I was doing all that whipping my hair around, not a care in the world. And I just remember that program being so fun. And honestly, I would love to redo it one day and just go out and skate it like just once, especially because I've grown so much as a skater from when I was 9. So yeah, I think that program is so fun and cute.
It's so cute. And I mean, you obviously had so much talent already at that time. You would not have been aware of it probably at that age, but figure skating is a fairly traditional sport, right? There's is some sense that there's a bit of resistance to change and that people who have at times gone outside the box, Surya Banali, for instance,
Yes.
it's been hard for the figure skating world to embrace them. Have you ever felt that?
Yes, I have. But I don't really let it get to me. Figure skating is something that you can make your own. And when lyrics were allowed in competition, I think that that opened a huge door. Because before, you weren't allowed to skate to lyrics in competition. And I feel like there's so many songs out there with lyrics that are so impactful and just touching. And I think that that opened a huge door for a lot of people. And I always like skating to different things and going outside my comfort zone or finding something really fun to skate to. So that definitely opened a huge door for me. And, you know, skating to what touches my heart.
So your name is Star. Your mom gave you that name with a real purpose, and it is truly coming to fruition. You have these famous fans now. You were just on the Jennifer Hudson show. Yes. Michelle Obama tweeted to you because of your Black Like Me program. What does it feel like to have this fan club?
Honestly, it doesn't feel real. I can't believe I met Jennifer Hudson. Like, it all happened so fast, and she's the sweetest person ever. And I wouldn't say weird, but like, it just doesn't sound real coming out my mouth. Like, I met Jennifer Hudson and Michelle Obama tweeted about me. Like, it's so cool. And never, like, as a child, I never would have thought like I was here, because like, of course I was skating for fun when I was young, and it's crazy how all of it turned out, and it's amazing.
Do you have a sense of the impact that you're having on younger skaters? Because you're the role model now.
Yes, I think that that's incredible. And whenever I get a message or I meet somebody and they're like, you inspired me to skate and I look up to you, it really touches my heart, because I'm like, wow, that's crazy, because that used to be me when I was younger. But I didn't have someone currently skating when I was younger that was a person of color that I really looked up to. Mm-hmm. You know, of course you had yes. and of course, like, you had Ty Babylonia, you had Atoy Wilson, and you know, they were, of course, they skated before I started skating.
Right.
And I definitely looked up to Ty. She actually taught me how to bow. She was kind of my mentor. So I think it's amazing that I'm that person now. I can't believe it.
You're 21?
Yes.
So, I mean, this has truly been your life. Do you ever feel like, you know, did you miss any part of your childhood, or did you just love this so much that this is all you wanted to do?
I would definitely say that I didn't really miss much. I was homeschooled from sixth grade. And of course, when you're young, you know, you have kids that have parties and you're like, oh man, I wish I could go to the party, but I have to skate and things like that. But to be honest with you, it really didn't bother me that much, because skating was kind of like my party. Mm-hmm. I would go to the rink. It was so fun for me. And I had friends at the rink. And I don't feel like I really missed out on a lot, because I mean, looking at where I am now, it has paid off so much. And I still love the sport so much like I did when I was a kid. So I feel like figure skating is such a blessing for me.
If you do have time away from the rink, what do you do for fun?
I love painting. Painting is really fun for me. It's therapeutic, and it's just fun. I like to paint. Like, I really like to paint clouds, even though that's like such, it's like clouds, but
it's for you. Right. It's like, yeah. And so you
make them like different colors, and like purple, pink, orange. And it's just really pretty to, you know, and also the end result. I'm like, wow, I painted that. It's kind of cool. And then I just have them all lined up on the top of my bed, and my mom's like, you should sell some of them. I'm like, but I'm kind of attached. I'm kind of attached to them. But yeah, I like painting, and I also like singing and playing with my animals and hanging out with friends.
So you're a normal young person.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that your trajectory is totally towards the stars. Yeah. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. I have heard like hockey players are very superstitious. There's a lot of pregame ritual, but I've heard that figure skaters are wildly superstitious. Is that true? And do you have any?
I think it's true. I think that some people are like, oh, I have to put my left skate on first, or they're like, I have to say this to my coach before I skate, or, you know, certain things like that. But for me, not really. I kind of just take everything one step at a time. And I actually joke a lot. So when I'm on the ice, to like distract myself, I'll joke with my coach. I wouldn't really call that like a superstition. I just call that distracting myself. But for me, no, I don't really have any superstitions. I feel like when I was younger, if I had to compete, I would be like, I have to eat spaghetti before I skate.
Yeah.
Spaghetti is just like something I have to eat, or pancakes if it was in the morning. I'd be like, I have to have pancakes before I skate. But I think I grew out of that, because now it's hard for me to eat before I skate, just because I'm a little bit nervous and excited, and my stomach is just kind of I wouldn't say upset, but it's kind of hard for food to settle just because of all that's going on. That's also new these past couple of years. That used to never happen to me. But as I've gotten older, my stomach just does not agree with competition.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it. So I'd say I had a little bit of superstition when I was younger, but I grew out of it.
So the goal now has to be always lingering in your mind, and that is to make the next Olympic team.
Yes.
So what is if you can describe, I know we're a few years out here, but what do you need to do to get there?
So I feel like this year was definitely a great starting point for me, and self-confidence as well, just with competition and, going out in Canada and coming home with a medal. Just, I feel like, changed my point of view and how I look at everything. And also my training has changed this year as well. And I think that that's also what helped me secure that medal in Canada. And I think that I just need to keep doing what I did, and the results will come, and just stay consistent in my training and definitely bring home some more medals.
Bring home some more medals. And that could easily start this month at SAP. Yes. So Star, I am really honored to meet you and so thrilled for all your success. Best of luck.
Thank you.
So was I right? She is a lovely person, and please just go Google her, YouTube her. Like, Star is an unbelievable skater with grace and style and substance, and I really think she's headed straight for the top. So here's what you need to know. If you are in the Bay Area, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships happen January 23rd to 29th at SAP Center in San Jose. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. That does it for this week's episode of The Undercurrent. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I will see you next week. In the meantime, keep your fins above water, people.